It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 8. We're going to begin with the 11th verse today. So please open your Bibles to that if you're able to. And if not, if you're driving, well, just please listen carefully. Always wonderful to study the Word of God. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. That's area code 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's .org, parkviewbiblechurch.org. Many studies up on the site there that you, I believe, will enjoy, and I hope that you learn from that, maybe even come to know the Lord Jesus through those studies. And at the same time, then, if you would like to, you sure could email us at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. We have quite a situation here in Matthew chapter 8. Again, we are going to back up and read from verse 5 because of the content and building up to what's going on here. So please just follow along. Matthew chapter 8, beginning to read with verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a certain centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus answered unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and with Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in that selfsame hour. When Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And when even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw the great multitude about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And we're going to end the reading there, and that was a lot of reading, but it's very important that we build back to the wonderful fellowship that we're going to have over God's precious word. So let's begin with prayer now. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together and enjoy this time, and I just ask that you would please guide and lead us. Just lead us each step of the way through your precious word by word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, that we may learn from you and know your way and will, know that we need to be born again, saved, and walking with you each and every day. So please, dear Lord, please just guide and lead us today. Guide and lead us in bringing those that do not know you as their Savior to salvation, as this centurion. At the same time, we saw a powerful example here as we read many verses of Scripture last time we were together concerning faith and believing the Word of God, believing the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is our Savior, and He took our sins away, set us free, and going to give us eternal life when that time would come. And so please, and again, the eternal life really begins the second you get saved, and it continues. What a joy that we can have in knowing the Lord Jesus. So, Father, please speak to our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We did get to the 11th verse there, and Jesus was so taken by the faith of this man. Says, no, you don't need to come to my house. You don't need to come to my house, because all you have to do is speak it, and it'll be done. You are a man of authority. You are man God. He knew his power. He knew the strength that was there. And what a joy that it was. And we find here in this 10th verse, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. You see, the Lord Jesus can look right into our hearts. He can see exactly what is in there. And we need to understand that you can fool anybody. You can fool everybody concerning whether you're a true born-again believer or you're just someone that's very religious that's putting on an act. I can't see through that. But Jesus can. And He will. So see that you don't and are not deceiving people, but worse than that, you're deceiving yourself. So please look into your heart, see that you're born again, and know, as we talked in the past, that you have that faith. You know and you believe and you've accepted, and it comes and you know it. You know it because He lives within your heart. There's no question about it. And we're going to be covering that a few times again. But look here what the Lord Jesus is saying. I have never seen so great. No, not in Israel. No, not in Israel. And I say to you that as many shall come from the east and the west shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Now that's quite a statement. The whole world. He's talking about the Gentiles. He's talking about Cornelius. His faith here. I'm sorry. This centurion. He's talking about him, and he is speaking of the faith that this centurion had, and he is a Gentile. And so, when we look at the faith that this man had, he is not a Jew. He is not of the household of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jesus here is saying that many shall come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That would be you and me. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, we're coming into the family. And he's got a very sad statement here, because he said, you are part of the family, and yet you're not. Because you're hanging on to your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather. Many people do that. Well, my father and my grandfather, they were very active in church. I'm very active in church, and I am staying in this church, and so that means I'm okay. Well, that's what the Jews thought. The Jews thought, I am of my father Abraham, so I am okay. I am a Jew. I'm an Israelite. I'm okay. And the Lord Jesus here tells them very specifically, very clearly, that no, you're not. Because I have come to seek and to save those that are lost, and you are rejecting me. The leadership rejected, and most, many, many of the Israelites rejected him, did not believe that he is the Messiah, because, you see, they were looking for a king. They were looking for a deliverer, someone to deliver them out of the bondage of Rome. And yet, this man, well, he can't do that. But you see, Jesus come to seek and to save those that are lost, to take care of our sin. What a statement here. I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. There's going to be multitudes of Gentiles that's going to be saved, just like this centurion. The centurion had the responsibility of many soldiers, and he knew that when he gave a command, that command was carried out. And he knew that the word of Jesus was all that was necessary. All you have to do is speak it. Look what took place here then. The joy that is coming is to know Jesus. I say to you that many shall come from the east and from the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There is a joy, an excitement, that comes into the heart of every person that surrenders to Jesus and comes. We will have, Gentiles will have an opportunity of salvation. They will be saved just like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they, you see, they were saved by faith, not because they were a Jew or an Israelite. It's because of their faith. Yes, Israel is God's chosen people. They believe themselves to be superior. Abraham was the greatest to the Jew. And I am of the family of Abraham. That's all I need to worry about. And when it says here, in the kingdom of heaven, we also have a statement in verse 12, the children of the kingdom. But look what's going to happen, because the children of the kingdom, in other words, those that believe they were of the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they are Israelites, they're Jews, I'm fine, I'm following the law, I'm following everything I need to do, but you see, they lack the faith. And maybe that's where you're positioned today. You're acting everything out. You're going to church. You're teaching Sunday school. You're doing all the things that should be done, that needs to be done. But what you're doing is you are forgetting the most important aspect, the most important step, and that was for you to surrender and come by faith to Jesus. Recognize that he's your Savior. Invite him into your heart to save you, and that's a time and opportunity that you'll never forget. But the children of the kingdom, this is the Jews. He just said that those from the east and the west shall come and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and those that were listening knew what he was talking about. They knew he was talking about the Gentiles. He was inviting the Gentiles to come as he did this centurion that come to him with a servant that was so sick. It wasn't for himself. He had come to Jesus for this single purpose, that this servant could be healed. And it was a grievously tormented, it says. And we have looked here a few meetings ago concerning that palsy and how wicked and how painful that can be. And so as we look at this and we see the leprosy and things of that went on, Jesus healed so many. But what brought healing to this servant was the faith of this centurion. And Jesus is telling the Israelites in verse 12, you lack that faith. You don't believe that I am the Son of God. You don't believe that. And look what's going to happen to them. But the children of the kingdom, he didn't say some of you. He directed this to all of them. Now, we do know that there were many Jews that were saved at this time, and there are many Jews that are saved today. But as a whole, the nation of Israel, number one, has been set aside because they have rejected that this is the true Son of God, Son of Man. They have rejected that. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Children of Israel believed themselves to be the favorites. You could call them, as one man did, the elite, his elect, his chosen. But the Jews rejected his word, rejected his coming in the way he had come, and they will be cast into outer darkness. They will be cast into the lake of fire. God's chosen. The very line that Jesus came through, born of a woman, virgin birth, but Jesus came through the Jewish line. And yet they rejected him. Outer darkness. Gnashing, weeping and gnashing of teeth. The level of pain is so enormous, so unbelievable, so beyond our thinking that we don't know what to do or how to even explain it, because it's going to be so horrible. The pain that you have suffered here is going to continue through eternity if you refuse Jesus. Now, if you accept the Lord Jesus, you will enjoy a new body. All pain, all crying, all suffering is gone. But you need to come by faith to him, and don't come to some church or some religion, but come to him personally. Come to Jesus, please. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And after Jesus had said this, because those who were listening, this wasn't for the centurion, this was for the Jews that were standing there listening. He was telling them, you're in the process right now of rejecting me, and I will set you aside, and I will call the Gentiles. They will be my church. They'll be my bride. That's what he was telling them there. But he was giving them much more than that, because he was telling them very clearly, I'm going to cast you right in hell. Most don't preach that, and most don't even think about there is a hell, but there is. There's a hell to shun, please. Understand that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Please come to Jesus. He told this centurion, Jesus answered and said unto the centurion, then go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And it says, and his servant was healed in that self same hour. Go your way. Go thy way. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't be anxious. Go about your business. Your belief, your faith has healed that servant. And we know by the other gospel that it tells us that they came and reported that, and it was the self same hour that Jesus had proclaimed his healing, that he was healed. Healed from afar. Now we find the next example here, the next joy that we get to study in verse 14. He touched and was healed. But you see, Jesus doesn't need to do that. And don't misunderstand me here, because I am not preaching a gospel or a belief that if you have enough faith, anything and anyone can be physically healed. Jesus was healing these people to show that he was God, so that they would believe in him for and to be their Messiah. They would come to him and be born again, be saved. That's why that he was performing these miracles. And we find that as a servant was healed in that self same hour, you receive that miracle of healing to your servant according to your faith. You come believing, I healed your servant. Again, I want you to, and we're going to go through, we're probably not going to get that far today, but I want you to realize that Jesus does not heal everyone. He did not heal Paul. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We think it was maybe his eyes. We don't know. Paul asked 3 times to be healed. And if you think it's just a matter of faith, and you're saying Paul, the Apostle Paul, didn't have enough faith to heal, well, God chose to use that sickness, that ailment. And he can and does the same thing with us. Many times he will have us go down through that valley. Many times it will draw us closer to him. We will be born again. We will be saved. We will be kept concerning our soul and our salvation. But when it comes to the flesh, we still have that old body. God can heal. I've been healed from cancer 2x. Went to the hospital, had the surgery, no cancer. It could return immediately. I never have blamed God for that, or questioned it, or criticized my Lord because he allowed it to happen. I never once thought it was because my faith was too weak as the reason I had to go to the doctor to have it done. God's in control. And many times he'll have these things take place that it puts you in different places. Maybe you'll cross the path, as Philip did, of someone that needs to see your testimony, hear your testimony, hear the presentation of the gospel in proclaiming your word. This servant of this centurion was healed. And here we have this picture of faith. He believed. He knew the power of God. I believe. I know the power of God. But just because he would choose to not physically heal me does not mean that he is of less power or that I have not enough faith. I want God to be glorified. And sometimes that's through, as Paul, the thorn in the flesh. But I know my God is true and powerful to save me and to keep me. And I am sealed by the Holy Spirit. So please, trust in him today. Walk with him each and every day. Our next time here, we're going to just get into it just a little bit here. And to your surprise, it says Peter was married. Peter was married. Now, there is a religion that doesn't allow the pastors, the preachers to be married. And yet they claim this to be their leader, the first. And yet, let's see, when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. Peter's house, Peter's wife, had a wife. Here, there's a mother-in-law. The mother-in-law's sick. We have no mention of Peter's wife. God chose not to speak of that. But if you got a mother-in-law, you got or you had a wife. She was sick with fever. Sick with fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. I don't know if you've ever had a high fever. Sick of a fever, it says here. I don't know if you've ever had a fever for a period of time, but it just drains you of strength and of energy. It just takes it out of you. You got no will to do anything. When the fever breaks, you begin to feel better, and slowly you begin to get your strength back. A little different story here, isn't it? Jesus touched her. You see, that's the difference between something that just happens physically to us or something that brings honor and glory to our God. He touched her. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. And here's the exciting part. And she arose and ministered unto them. The fever left her. She got up and got to work and prepared a meal for them, ministered unto them, supplied their needs immediately. Touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. What a wonderful sight. What a wonderful sight. Immediately. And then she just didn't sit or lay around. She went right to work. And when we are healed, when our soul is made new, when we're born again, we need to get to work. There is so much to do. The day you're born again, the day you're saved. Now here, she was sick with fever, but the second that Jesus touched her, and the second that Jesus touches you and changes your heart, and you become a new creature, born again, get to work. Get to work. Begin to minister and begin to take care of people and things and bring honor and glory unto the Lord. We have here in the 16th verse, and when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. As the centurion and the servant, all he needed to do was speak. He chose to touch Peter's mother-in-law, but here he just spoke the words. And every single person that come, he healed. All that were sick. Again, the purpose is to show us who he is. He's powerful. He is powerful. He has all the power necessary to take our sins away because he did that on the cross of Calvary. And he has the power to heal if he chooses to. There was nothing that he couldn't heal. No demons he couldn't cast out, or no sickness he couldn't take care of. That's our God. And my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?